Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or maybe good evening, or good night. What's up, everyone? This is Danny Pena, and joining me also for this episode, we have Pete. Peter, what's going on, man?
Peter, what the hell?
What's Peter, up? Peter.
It's Peter. Oh, it's Peter. What's up, man?
Everything's good, man. How's everything over there, man?
I'm doing all right. Just got back from... Spain. I am now an official empty nester. I have leveled up both skill trees fully. I've got two kids that are out of the house now and in college. So it's been rough, but it's a new chapter for everyone now, right? You know, we got kids in college. I got, you know, me and the wife now got to figure out what to do in the house that doesn't have to do with, it doesn't have to do with raising kids in the house. We don't have to, you know, I don't know. It's a new experience, and it's something I'm looking forward to. It's a new skill tree at this point, right?
Yeah. No, that's good, man. And I remember when they were like so young, man, when we met back in the days, and look at that. They're out. They're gone, Pete.
Right?
Oh my God, it's a thing. It's
good. From having them with us at game launches, whether it was like Halo or Guitar Hero, or us doing events, or like even hanging out at the house, whether it was mine or your place, and it just, they've always been there, right? Like they've always been a part of us as, you know, just a family. And now they're not here. Now they're their own humans. They're their own adults doing their own thing. It's amazing, exciting, and frightening all at the same time.
yeah. But everyone, head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. Also listen to our past episodes because we've been releasing some great, great content the past, a few weeks nonstop. It's been good. Good stuff. And let us know. You also can find us on any podcast app. Search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Make sure to follow us, subscribe, post a review. It'll help us out a lot, too. And if you would like to be part of our fan mail discussion, which we have a couple emails and voicemails that we're going to play on this episode later on, this is how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
By the way, so there was a major backlash a couple days ago, which I thought it was going to stay like this. I was not expecting for PlayStation to make any changes. So the backlash, for those who don't know, is that Horizon Forbidden West is coming out, right? So if you have a PlayStation 4 to upgrade to the PlayStation 5 version, you needed to pay, $70. You need to pay around that amount to get that version, and then you could upgrade it to the new version, right, for the PS5, next gen console. So people were really mad because when this was announced, people were like, wait a minute, I thought you said that upgrading was going to be free. What happened? So I know there was articles with that was posted by Forbes and other media outlets, and people were like, hey, this is not cool, man. Like, you know, people are not happy about it, especially the fans. PlayStation fans were not happy about it at all. So Jim Ryan just posted an announcement, I believe a couple days ago, that now you could upgrade this totally for free. And now what's going to happen from any first-party titles from PlayStation from here on is that to upgrade it, you just have to pay only $10, which is, I think, is great, a great move. And honestly, I was not expecting for Sony to make that change at all. I was like, yo, this is going to do it. They're not going to change at all. But it's great to see this change from them and for the team. What did you think about that, Pete, when you heard about the news?
Honestly, I think it's a fair change of pace or change of direction for them, considering the amount of backlash that they got from fans around the world. Rightfully so, in my personal opinion. I know as PS5 owners, you know, they're, you know, at the end of the day, all of us have, you know, our love for our specific platform. Sometimes some people may take it too far, and I don't want to delve into that. I think we've kicked that dead horse plenty of times. But I think at the end of the day, this is the right move. If you were going to be on the PS5, you'd be paying $70 anyways. If you're on PS4 and you do end up eventually getting a PS5, because it's near impossible to get it, it's literally like you pick win the lottery or get the PS5, and you really have to choose. So for them to listen to the community and actually say, you know what, we're going to make the community happy, and this is what we're going to do. And it's not just Horizon Forbidden West. It's actually all first party titles moving forward that are crossed generational. So whether it be God of War or what have you, if it's cross generational for 4 and 5, it's a $10 upgrade to allow them to play it. So I think it's a really smart move by them to actually turn around and say, you know what, maybe we made a faux pas or a mistake, and we're going to go ahead and give you guys the opportunity to do it. I think it's a smart move.
No, it is. And it is. Here's the thing. It is important to be vocal and say the things that you don't like, you know, say the right way. You know what I'm saying? Give feedback for these brands out there that are making changes. Because look, Pete, we were very vocal about Xbox. Remember during the Xbox One days?
Absolutely.
Before it launched, and even after it launched, we were super vocal about it, man. And look, they made changes, and look how it is Xbox in 2021.
Yep.
You know, absolutely. And it was because us, we gave feedback, you know what I'm saying? So that's what people need to do, man. You know, I'm glad that Sony made this change, man. And again, Horizon Forbidden West is going to be totally for free to upgrade. And like you said, Pete, everything else.
$10, not totally free to upgrade.
No. Upgrade. Horizon Forbidden West is going to be free. Everything else is going to be $10 and up. It, from now on, it's going to be $10.
You're right.
Yeah, it's all good. So I think that's a great move. Great, great move. And shout out to PlayStation for doing that, man. And I think that's awesome. Really, really cool. All right. Now, speaking of PlayStation, later this week, there is going to be a PlayStation showcase that's going to happen Thursday. Can't remember what time exactly, but I'm planning to co-stream it. But
1 p.m. Pacific.
1 p.m. Pacific. What time is that for...
That will be 10 o'clock, because I think doing the math, that's 9 p.m. British or UK time, which is 1 hour behind me. So, yeah, that'll be 10 p.m. Thursday. Mm. I may be able to do that with you. So if you'd be so kind to allow me to be a participant, I would be more than glad and happy to do that.
Let's do it. I'm very curious to see what is it that they're going to show at that during the showcase.
I think we have a good idea what they're going to show.
Well, I know that David Jaffe posted this. He said, actually, it was in one of his streams. And according to him, again, I don't know. He didn't mention exactly what it is. He just said this. He said, people are going to lose their effing minds when they see the showcase. I don't know what it is, but I think that's really cool. I'm excited. I'm very excited. Because this is technically PlayStation's official E3/Gamescom, right?
Yep. Correct.
They haven't really done anything major for the past couple months. So we'll see. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, really cool. He talked about in his little video, I think it was Gabin Games or something like that is the name of his show on streaming platforms. But he talks about that the showcase is going to be about 40 minutes. talking about, you know, whether it's studio stuff or, you know, just anything, games that are coming out this holiday and beyond. But some of the details that he dropped, because obviously the big you know, elephant in the room is God of War, right? They had they revealed that little teaser video just, you know, a little while ago. I was talking about God of War Ragnarok 2021 at the end of there, which, you know, dropped a lot of jaws for everybody watching that. Mm-hmm. But they're talking about 40 hours of gameplay for that specific title. That's the rumor. Hours. That's what David Jaffe is talking about. And obviously, you know, he has a lot of history associated to that title. You know, he was the director for the first two. So it's for them to say, for him to say that it's going to be about 40 hours, I kind of take him, you know, at his word. And, you know, if there's anybody that's going to have, you know, ear to the grindstone type knowledge like that, it's him. Mm-hmm. But 40 hours, he said in his show that he thinks that that might be too much. And I'm curious, do you think that do you have that same mindset, right? I mean, 40 hours of gameplay, that's a lot, right? Like, just for a single player experience, 40 hours is a hell of a lot. And I'm curious, I'm almost of the same vein, right? Like, I think 40 hours might be too much, but
we got to debate about this. We got to debate about this. Because here's the thing. I don't mind at all if a game is 40 hours long or 10 hours long or what. The most important to me is it fun? The majority of people, Pete, don't finish games like that because they just don't have time. So the only thing for them to it makes sense for them to do is play multiplayer games, PUBG, Apex, Warzone, Halo, etc. Because people just want to play online. They don't want to do a 40-hour campaign. They don't want to do that at all. Now, us, the hardcore, we'll go all in. I don't mind at all. Look, man, Psychonauts, I'm going to have a great conversation with Ree. I'm going to record this and release it to the public because that game is not that long. It's like maybe campaign only. This is just story. It's like around 10 hours or so. But it's one of the best games that I play this year. So, to me, length is not the biggest thing. It's more about the content. Am I having fun with it? You know what I'm saying?
So, well, I mean, at the end of the day, you look at a standard, usual game, you're always going to look at maybe 10 hours. 8 to 10 hours is about average for most people to complete a game, right?
Yeah.
If we're looking at like 100% completionist style, regardless of whether you're looking for achievements or you're looking for trophies, mm-hmm. you're looking about 20 to 25 hours, maybe even 30, depending on the game and how difficult these achievements or whatnot end up being. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say that I'm totally against 40 hours because look at The Witcher, right? The Witcher was like 30 plus, 40 plus, maybe 50 hours if you included the two. You know, expansions that came after it.
No, that's way more than that. I have over 100 hours.
35. Yeah, it was about 35 hours for the first game and then 10 and 25 for the other two. So, but we're talking a full game.
Yeah.
Then we're talking two DLCs that came after that that were just short of basically being full games in and of themselves, right? Actually, at the end of the day, those two were basically full-on games tacked on to the end of, you know, the full Witcher. So it's not a surprise, but if it's 40 hours of just full game, not 100% completionist style, but like 40 hours, are you okay with that?
I'm okay with it. Games are expensive, dude. So
I get that.
If I'm going to pay $60 or let's say 70, for a game that I know I'm going to go all in and play the whole time, I don't mind. Hey, dude, I have so many hours, Grand Theft Auto, and still to this day, it sells like crazy.
Yeah, but was that all single player or was that multiplayer mix combined?
I play more the single player I play the single player more than the multiplayer.
I don't know. I'm not fully against it as long as the game doesn't suffer as an as 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 a result, right? I don't want that. I don't think that the time limit should be like added to it as a requirement, or like if they're trying to hit this benchmark for time because people think that, you know, oh, I'm getting 40 hours. It's going to be well worth it. I'd rather have the quality over the quantity, right? Give me, I mean, hell, look at Hades. I mean, shit, you could, sorry, damn, I curse. Hades does that. Right? This game is so good. That game is so good. It does that to me.
Yeah.
But you can have that amazing experience in 3, 4, 5 hours. That is totally good quality. Plus it's, you know, you can have multiple gameplays through it and it's a fraction of the cost, right? Whereas now we're looking at 40 hours. I'd rather have the quality. If you can give me that entire thing and condense it down to 10, 15 hours and be an amazing game of the year type experience, I'm all for it. But 40 hours, I mean, are you just tacking on side quests just to buff the amount of content that's in there if it's not necessary? I don't know. It gets a little, you know, iffy at that point.
Yeah. Look, me again, it's about the content. If it's good, I'm all in. It's like a perfect example, Pete. We went, you know, we will go to E3 previous years, right? And we will post multiple interviews during the week. So I think it was like 57 in 7 days. 57 episodes in 7 days. Some of those episodes were like 5 minutes long, 10 minutes long, but they were like top quality, great conversation that the media will pick it up. It got picked up because of the conversation that we had with the developer or maybe because of the preview of a game that we did or something, you know?
Right.
So again, that's 10 minutes long. And there was a lot of content out there, right? But there's people that would do 3, 4 hours of content and I can't sit and listen to the whole thing because it was just like, it was just boring. So like you said, it is important to have those story or campaign that is fun. Doesn't matter if it's short or long as it's fun and great content, that then I'm all in. And I think we're kind of on the same page of it when it comes to that.
Basically, yeah, for the most part. Yeah, I think we're like, there's like little parts of the conversation where we disagree. But for the most part, I mean, again, at the end of the day, quality over quantity. I think if they could get it down to 20 hours, I mean, hell, again, I don't want to tell them what to do. And I'm not, you know, speaking for everybody. You know, obviously anybody that's listening to this or everybody out, you know, who has a voice or, you know, anybody on social media, everybody's never going to agree on the same thing.
No, but at all.
As long as the experience in and of itself is quality and makes me, you know, excited, happy, joyous, frustrated, pissed off, all of those at the same time, I'm okay with it. Just give me a quality game and I'll be happy regardless of whether it's 60 or 70 bucks.
All right. So let's go to the next topic. Pete, before we go to the one that you really want to talk about, because I think this is an important one, I want to ask you this because we're huge Dead Space fans. Mm-hmm. Huge. I played the iPad version that a lot of people never really played it. It came out when the iPad was like on top, everyone was like into it. But anyways, there's a new Dead Space game that's coming out from EA
Motive,
right? EA Motive is working on it. They showed first look of very early development of the game. Shout out to Jackie and also Khalif from Spawn on Me. They hosted the stream. It was a lot of fun watching it, man. And they had the team there talking about the game. They show a couple of the graphics comparing to like the first game and the new one. I was very impressed with the stuff that they showed. And I'm very, very excited to play it. How about you, Pete? Because I know you weren't here when I did the cold stream. I know you were out, but I need to hear your thoughts because you were there even before the game came out. And for those who don't know, Pete went to the event August of 2008 and the game came out October of 2008.
Yep. 13 years ago.
Yeah. 13 years ago. And Pete went to the event, got to meet the team, the original team that worked on the game. And also they had a community event. They got to I think, watch like scary movies, a couple movies there, right? I think it was like two or so. It was great.
Yeah. It was somebody. It was Sunshine and I forgot the other one. But the days of developer events, right?
And I
community
know.
Events. But I mean, at the end of the day, for me, watching this developer live stream with Jackie and Khalif, shout out to them again. It was great to see the pure joy and excitement from the developers talking about, you know, whether it was, you know, how they were focusing and making sure that, you know, the weaponry was spot on and ensuring that they focused on like accuracy and precision. Because, you know, obviously everybody that's played Dead Space or has followed the game itself, you know, that is one of the key things and one of the more important things in how you play the game was which weapon you brought into each encounter. You know, when you went to the workbench and you built up your plasma cutter, you built up any of the other weapons and how you use those in the pace of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And to see that they wanted to make sure that they stayed true to the overall essence of the original title from Visceral and so on. So it was great to see that. Excuse me. It was great to see that the game in and of itself still super early. But to see that they're focusing on the core essence and mechanics of the original Dead Space. You know, they didn't want to just do this just to do it. You know, the game and systems have evolved since the original launch 13 years ago, right? And this was a game that was so popular that it actually changed the way developers made horror games because it was so important to the actual genre. So it's exciting. You still don't know the launch.
I don't see this coming out anytime soon. I think maybe 2023.
Yeah, 24. At least 23. Hopefully, again, I want them to take their time. Thankfully, it's not like they're going from complete scratch. You know, I think we talked about this a while back when this first started coming out was that they have all the original art, audio, and studio files, so they have everything that they need. They know the story where it's going to go. So it's fantastic to think, you know, it's fantastic to know that they can just focus on making the gameplay great as opposed to having to come up with a storyline as they're doing things. You know, they have the path of which way to follow. It's so exciting to see this game get redone, seeing the suit all over again, but reimagined and redone for 2021. Was exciting. It was great. Watching the 2021 version of Isaac, but in like that wireframe environment, even though he had necromorphs coming at him, it was exciting to see that. I'm super stoked. I'm glad to see that Khalif and Jackie were obviously excited to do that as well. They were just the extreme joy in Khalif's voice was enough to sell anybody, right? Much less myself. Yeah. And then obviously, you know, seeing the senior producer and the creative director out there talking about it again, there's so much excitement to this. And if you don't know what we're talking about, there's a great video out on YouTube, from IGN that they actually chopped it out into individual pieces. So if you just wanted to see like just the individual, or you wanted to see like the whole 40-minute video, you know, they've got it. But yeah, it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really cool. Very, very excited. Again, shout out to Jackie and Khalif. They did an amazing job with the presentation. All right, Pete, I know you want to talk about PUBG, man. What's going on? Because I have no idea.
It's not a bad way to transition this, right? Not a bad way. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Glenn Schofield was the original developer. You know, he was the mind behind Dead Space. He's now actually over at Krafton working on the Callisto Protocol.
Yeah.
It's going to become PUBG Radio all of a sudden.
PUBG,
and actually,
let's
and
go.
It's not even PUBG Radio. It's actually Player Unknown Radio. So this past Monday, Brendan Green, aka Player Unknown, announced that he had officially left Krafton, which was previously known as Blue Hole Studios, previously known as PUBG Studio. He had left, And in this video that he released on Twitter, he talks about how he was stepping down as head of special projects at Krafton and was opening his new studio in Amsterdam called PlayerUnknown Productions. So the part of the conversation that actually caught my attention was that he mentioned that as part of the transition, he was actually able to retain his name, PlayerUnknown, and how that actually contradicted a statement from Krafton from a month ago when they rebranded the game known as PUBG to PUBG Battlegrounds. And so like their official statement at the time was, Krafton is actively expanding the PUBG brand through a variety of new experiences set in its own universe. Rebranding PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds to PUBG Battlegrounds is the first step in us realizing this vision. Additional titles in the franchise will carry the PUBG name, as you know, with their upcoming game, PUBG New State. So, since we know the legal proceedings concerning intellectual property and stuff usually take some time, this was already in the works when they made this announcement a month ago. And so, while Krafton gets to keep the name PUBG, Green leaves Krafton and will get to keep his name and the game that he started back in 2019. So, like, Prologue is the new thing that he's working on. There's a great article with Dean Takahashi. He had an exclusive article on VentureBeat that came out the day after this video. So what do we know about Prologue? Prologue is not going to be a BR or Battle Royale. And according to this article, it's essentially a pay what you want tech demo, right? That resembles the forests of Europe, and it's set within a 64 kilometer square space where everything is intertwined and interconnected. It'll still be some form of like a survival game with a constant harsh weather atmosphere. And Brendan Green uses He uses Red Dead Redemption as an example and says, if you kill all the bears in a region in this game, you go away and you come back to the same region, all the bears have come back. What he wants to do is he wants to have a meaningful life in the world. So if you kill all the bears in a region, maybe the deer population explodes because there's no more predators in that environment. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of what he was talking about. He also talks about Project Artemis. And in comparison, consider that the largest map in PUBG is 8 kilometers by 8 kilometers. And Prologue will be 8 times larger than that. And Artemis, which is the ultimate goal for what he's trying to do, is envisioned as an Earth-sized virtual world. And I actually had to look this up. The Earth itself is 510 million square kilometers. So think of a game like PUBG. You jump in the glider or you jump in a car and you can traverse an 8x8 world in a matter of minutes. In this game, it would force you to traverse that amount of space in a matter of days. You can't just go over 64 kilometers in a few minutes. You would actually have to take time and be real time. And so here's the other crazy part about this. It's not just, you know, something that's possible. Prologue, all right, let me go back. That's where things get interesting, because Prologue isn't really possible. Well, Prologue is possible on current game technology, and he's actually trying to bet the farm on machine learning or AI to create everything necessary to make it possible. But what he's also talking about is a procedurally generated realistic world within what he called a neural network artificial intelligence. On the internet, and when you start getting into this, into the real, the nuts and bolts and the tech, there's been talk of what's known as the metaverse, which is essentially Ready Player One, or most recently Free Guy. I don't know if you've seen that in the movies,
yes.
Which is a universe of virtual worlds that are all connected to one another. Mm-hmm. And the only way that he's been able to see that makes it possible is by building a new engine from scratch called the Entity Component System. And the reason he's doing this is because there's nothing commercially available that he could actually use to do this. So he's taken it upon himself to him and his team to be able to start building this new engine to make it possible. And so what else is that? It seems that Green himself, he's evolving into something that's not just, he's not just looking into the future of video games and entertainment, but he's looking into the future of the internet. He's looking for blockchain developers, and he's tapping into using NFTs. I don't know if you're familiar with what NFTs
yeah.
are,
yeah,
but definitely. He's looking for ways to drive blockchain to enable players to make money while playing, which is a totally different you know, narrative from today's, you know, video game experience, right? We as consumers and players, we don't actually own the games we play. We just own a license. But by leveraging NFTs, what Green wants to do is he wants to have players have ownership of their created players, achievements, and skins and experiences in the game. I've used Player IGN as a source for some of the data that I've talked about in previous things regarding to PUBG, as well as in this article. And so he explains it like this. Blockchains are essentially a ledger of events instead of money. So if a player slays a boss in the game with a particular sword, that sword can be passed on to other players, eventually gaining worth or value. And eventually, as the sword is used more and more and more, it becomes more valuable. And then at that point, you can actually start selling it, because this is one big world that's totally connected. It's wild, what Brendan Green is trying to do. He's essentially flipping video game technology on its head and trying to take it to the ultimate next level, because he's not, like I said earlier, he's not just trying to create the next new video game. It seems like he's trying to create a new internet connected video game where everybody plays in the same world or experience. So I kind of went all over the place there.
No, that's really, it's very interesting. I was going to ask you a question about that.
I wanted to see what are your thoughts on what you've heard or read or what I just talked about.
That is wild. And I think here's the thing that I'm a little bit worried. Hyping it so much, overhyping it. People are going to get excited. And what happened if it's not exactly how it is once it comes out? And my question I was going to ask you, Pete, is it smart to talk about this early about his plans? So, do you think that was smart for him to do that?
In a sense, I do, because what he's essentially doing is this tech demo, like I said, it's a pay what you want tech demo. So you can invest $1, $5, $10, $15, whatever you think personally will help. He hasn't completely separated himself from Krafton, because they are an investor in this Player Unknown Productions company to create this tech and experience world. But I think because he wants to make sure that gamers get the ultimate value out of this prologue tech demo is going to prove what is possible. So he's not just doing, you know, a set game where you have a 64x64 world, and every time you go through that planet, it's the exact same experience. It's always going to be a procedurally generated. Think of it as No Man's Sky and Star Citizen, that type of universe of gameplay, where you go to a place and it's going to be a brand new experience every time you play the game. So it's not like you've ever been to this. So one of the big things, whether it's Halo or Call of Duty or PUBG or Fortnite, the place that you play is always the exact same environment. It doesn't matter if you've played it one time, 10 times, or 100 times. That playing field is always exactly the same. But if you're playing on a 64x64, or like he's envisioning with Artemis, it's a planet. How do you remember that, right? Unless you're only playing in a finite space. A good example of it is Rust. Have you ever played Rust,
Danny? I have. It's been a
okay. So So when you play Rust, if you took it to the expanse of what he's trying to do with Prologue, you would have a village every, you know, 5 to 10 feet. Whereas in this, you would have to traverse for hours just to get to another time, you know, just to get to another village, right? He doesn't want everybody to be just like stacking buildings on top of buildings on top of buildings, like in Minecraft. Like if you had 100 people playing on a Minecraft server, there'd be no place for you to dig or build, because it would have been used up by every other player in the planet. And that's what he's trying to do. He wants to build out these. Not just one world, but this universe of planets and worlds. And at the base thought pattern of it, it's wild. Like, how is wild. How would this be? And it's not even something that he or a team of 25, which is what he got, you know, he got his original team of 25 computer developers to work with him and go to Amsterdam, but they could never achieve this. And they're trying to leverage machine learning and artificial intelligence to develop these things, to develop not just the worlds that the gamers will play in, but to develop the systems that will generate the worlds and the players that people are in. And it's mind-boggling on because it's on such a scale that we've never seen or experienced. I think the closest would be maybe EVE Online, because that generates revenue. People actually make money from games like that. So to see where he has gone in his career from gamer to a modder, you know, with Arma 3 and developing the PUBG, you know, Battle Royale, basically from a mod of an existing game, then going to Sony and creating H1Z1, King of the Hill, and then going on and eventually making player, you know, the PUBG game in and of itself. To see that mindset, he's said himself he's done with modding. He doesn't want modding to happen. Like which is strange because this is basically how he became who he is now.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, what's up with that?
He wants these worlds to be he doesn't want the developers to develop. He wants it to just be generated automatically by a computer AI so that people can get back to playing the game. It's great, but it's scary at the same time because we've seen the way gamers can get involved into games, like we've seen with StarCraft and stuff like that, how people just get so involved into a universe that they stop living their personal life and stop eating, drinking food, going to the bathroom. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, we've seen bad things happen. But I can see how things like this, not just from a PC, but from like a VR experience as well, could be pretty wild.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, we're going to continue with our conversation here on episode 1162. But first, let's talk about our sponsor, Magic Spoon. Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. But I had to give it up because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you shouldn't eat. We're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff. And look, for me, I've been trying to cut down on sugar and unhealthy foods, and I realized I can't eat anything anymore. But Magic Spoon sent me a couple of their flavors. They sent me like 4 or 5, and I started eating it with my partner, and we love it. We enjoyed it. It was delicious, especially cocoa and cinnamon. Oof! Highly recommend if you want to try that out. But it's really good, and plus it's healthy. That's something that I'm highly, highly recommend for you guys to try it out, because I know there's a couple people that listen to the show that actually bought it because of us, and they also hit us up on Discord saying it was so good and also thanked us for promoting this product on GTR. But for those that don't know, Magic Spoon has 0 grams of sugar, 13 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving, plus only 140 calories a serving. It's quail-free, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low carbs. Plus, you could build your own box. Available flavors to build your own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, my favorite, cinnamon, cookies and cream, a maple waffle. Guys, go right now. Right now. Call to action. Go to magicspoon.com/GTR to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it out today. And be sure to use our promo code GTR checkout to save $5 off your order. $5 off! And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guaranteed. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money, no questions asked. Plus, GTR listeners, if you purchase this, let us know on Discord, let us know on social media, because I'm very, very proud of talking about this product on GTR. So remember, get your next delicious bowl of Guilt-Free Cereal at magicspoon.com/GTR and use promo code GTR to save $5 off. Thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this episode of Gamer Tag Radio.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Now, can he pull this off on like consoles? I don't know if he could do it. Like I could see it like PC all the way. Definitely could see that, but consoles are going to be a little bit tricky, Pete, to pull something off like this because this is insane.
So insane. The crazy part is this. It's not like the game is going to come on a disc. This is going to be a total Uplay Online type of experience, right? And he says that it's possible on today's current gen to do the prologue experience, which is the 64x64 sandbox. But when he starts going into Artemis and the whole like world of worlds and universes of, you know, that I don't think is something that the current gen, whether it be PlayStation 5 or the Xbox Series X, I don't know if that's possible. But considering that most of the horsepower will be generated from a streaming experience, mm-hmm. The world, who knows at this point, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, for those that don't know, Pete actually interviewed him years ago. I think when PUBG, what year was that? PUBG was coming out for Xbox One.
Got to be 2018, I think. I think it was 2018. Yeah.
Or 2017. One of the two. But Pete, it would be cool if you can invite him back and have this conversation because I think this is wild. I need to sit down and also ask him questions about it because it's a lot. It's a lot of information. And like you said, it could be very, very scary, man. You know? So
yeah, I would love to get him back online. I think he's gonna be pretty much like everybody's gonna be trying to get an interview with him now.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
No. I'll reach out to my contacts to see if, you know, if actually I know the people that he was being represented by before, because that's who we spoke with to get him online. I'll reach out to them and see what is possible. I would love to tap his brain because going over this over the last two or three days, it's insane as a IT person to try to understand the mentality necessary to try to come up with this. Mm-hmm. I want to ask those questions. Like, how did he get to this level of where he wants to go? Like, what clicked? Like, what happened in his life? And I think part of it was, and this was part of the separation from Crafton, was he couldn't, he was being held hostage almost in a sense. Not in a hostile way, but just he wasn't able to do what he wanted to do with the title. And I think that's why he went and moved out to this director of special projects to try to work on Prologue with the help of Crafton. But I think because they were trying to focus more on the player unknown, like the Battlegrounds portion of it and that series of universes, where he had bigger, more grandiose he had bigger visions of what he wanted to achieve. Like you said, is it possible in 2021 through 2025? We've seen massive growth and growth spurts in machine learning and AI, going so far as to see like what Boston Dynamics is able to do with that dog. With that robot dog, and I've got a little bit of experience with it. My wife actually worked with a company that was working on the software that actually runs in the background for it. Is it possible in the next 2 to 5 years? Who knows? Will this become another Star Citizen where it's like $300-500 million of crowdfunding and we're still not out of alpha beta? You're totally valid in your question is, is this even possible? Like in 2021, like is he maybe, you know, are the goalposts set so far back that he'll never be able to punt this through the goalposts? who knows? But it's a vision that is exciting and scary at the same time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I want to see it happen at this point, right? He's spoken it into existence. So now I want to see this achievement. I'm actually rooting for him, not just because he created my favorite game, but I actually want to see this achievable. I want to see this, whether we only get prologue, because that's all we can actually achieve, or if we can get some form of Artemis and see this world, this full world, not even the universe of worlds, but just this one planet occur or happen. I want to see it happen at this point. Like, yeah. He's spoken it into existence. So I want to see it come. I wanted to see it come to life.
Yeah. Hey, he's more than welcome to come back on the show and talk about this. Cause yeah, I have questions. I definitely have questions. And yeah, and P, if there's any updates in the future about this, hey, let us know here on the podcast, man. I think this it was very interesting hearing this from you, man. So it's cool.
Yeah, I'll very definitely cool. keep a tab on this one for certain. And
yeah.
if our listeners or our viewers on Twitch or on YouTube, if they're interested in it and they want to hear more information as it comes out, you know, I'll be more than happy to maybe start doing sidebar conversations on this, whether it be on Twitch or, you know, on wherever, you know, just platforms or whatever. Again, we can get Brendan, if you even hear this, hopefully you do, and you're open to talking to us about this, I'd be more than happy to have you on the show.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. All right. So this is last news here, because we have some family who want to answer some questions here. But so Alan Wake Remaster has been listed at a retailer in Taiwan for release on PlayStation 4, PS5, and Xbox, which is Xbox One, and also Xbox Series X and S. And it's coming out on October 5th of this year. Now, I'm very excited about this because we know that Remedy is also working on the sequel of Alan Wake. So this is going to be a great time for those that have never played this game back in 2010 for the Xbox 360 and PC. And now this is your chance to try it out, but now with a remaster look. There's no other details about it. They haven't been confirmed at all about this at all. But hopefully in the next couple of days, probably we'll hear this from Remedy, and they probably will make this official and announce it. But I'm very excited about this, and I want to play Alan Wake again. It's one of my favorite Xbox 360 games, period. It's up there for me. And I know, Pete, what you think about this, man? Because you played this game back in 2010 when I went to your house. I got this game early, and I wanted you just to try it out for the first time. And it looked like you had a great time. There's a video online of Pete playing this, and he was like, oh, my God, this is scary as hell, man. So.
No. What you think, man? I'm excited. I know you, of all people, I know you're extremely excited of it simply because you have a fascination with, you know, the whole Alan Wake universe, right? Whether it be this game or Control or any of the other games in that little universe. Again, this kind of almost goes back to the conversation we had just now about this universe of worlds where, you know, these are all interconnected and intertwined in some way, shape, or form. So I would love to see what it, I mean, hell, it looked good back then, right? In 2010, we're talking 11 years ago, right?
Yes.
So it's great to see, if possible, you know, how much better can they make this? And I mean, can you know, how well is, or how good is it going to look? Right. Cause I mean, yeah. It looked great back in 2010. It'll be great to see, how well this turns out.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, Remedy acquired Alan Wake publishing rights from Microsoft in July of 2019. So, and I know also the studio, this is from the article too, the studio announced that in March of 2020, that it signed a publishing agreement with Epic Games for its next two unannounced titles. Now, according to Jeff Grubb from GamesBeat, he said this back in March, that two of those games, one of it was going to be Alan Wake 2. So just want to mention that very, very quick there, man. But yeah, the most important thing, P, about this to me is the just replaying the game and just enjoy the story again, man. Because the story is so good, man. So good. So if you play Control, there's Easter eggs there of about Alan Wake. And I know there's a DLC that came out for that game also related to Alan Wake. So you have an opportunity. Make sure to play Control. And I think, is it Alan Wake is on Game Pass? I'm not sure. I can't quite remember, but it was there on Game Pass before. So you have an opportunity to try that out if you haven't played this game, man. So
this is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
This episode is sponsored by Namecheap, and they're offering all Gamertag Radio listeners an exclusive deal. You can get a .live domain name today for just $1.99. .live is the perfect domain and brand name for gamers, live streamers, and esports players. Seamlessly redirect your live streams to Twitch, YouTube, Instagram, or any other streaming platform. You can promote your .live domain name in your bio, social posts, live shoutouts, and stream chats, and grow your fan base today. But if .live is not for you, Namecheap's got another offer for anyone who's thinking about starting a website. All GTR listeners can get 30% off any non-premium domain name, including .com and other popular extensions. To access either of the deals, go to Namecheap.com, select any non-premium domain name, and select or enter the code GTR in the promo box at checkout. So if you're curious about Namecheap, they're the world's second largest domain registrar and a top service provider for everything you need to launch amazing websites. They've also been an industry leader for more than 20 years, and their mission is to make the internet accessible and affordable for everyone. So get your .live domain for only $1.99, plus 30% off any other non-premium domain name for its first year of registration. Please note, the offer cannot be combined with any other existing sales, but can override any current sale if its discount is less than 30%. So get your .live domain name for only $1.99, or enjoy 30% off any other non-premium domain. Just go to Namecheap.com, search for your desired domain, and use the code GTR at checkout. That's Namecheap.com, and use the code GTR at checkout.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
And it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail. At gamertagradio.com.
All right. We have two questions here. So I'm gonna play the first one and we'll go from there. Let's do it.
Hey GTR, this is Garth Wolf from Columbus. I just wanted to get your thoughts on something I was thinking about. So you look at Nintendo, you see Doug Bowser, Shigeru Miyamoto, Masahiro Sakurai, like lots of well-known figures for them. Xbox, Phil Spencer, Major Nelson. Sony, I'm looking at them and I see the previous people that were leading the company, Sean Layden and Jack Tretton, but who is there now? Like, I looked it up and I saw Jim Ryan as the current head of Sony's entertainment division, and I've never heard that name before. And it's just kind of weird to me that now when I look at Sony, I don't really have a figurehead I'm thinking of right away, which brings me to the question of, do you think it's important for a major gaming company like Sony to have a PR figurehead, like someone who can come out on stage and address and everyone knows right away who that is? Or do you think that's not important at all? Because, I don't know, it's just kind of weird to me to think that Sony's become just more like, you see Sony and you see the face of the corporation as a whole and you don't see the face of a person. Anyway, I just wanted to get your thoughts on that and keep doing what you do. I love you guys.
All right. Well, thanks, man. And we love you too, man. Thank you for sending us a voice message here for fan mail. Pete, what you think about that, man? Because for me, as a fan of gaming, we, back in the days, let's go back in like in the 80s and 90s, we were just focused on just the brand and just playing the games, and that's it, right? It changed around late 90s. I think the first experience of some like a figure in game like this was that I remember was I think it was during the Super Nintendo. Once we started getting to see the developers of the of different games from the, like the first part of Nintendo, and then Sega with Sega Dreamcast, especially Peter Moore, he was very out there promoting the Sega Dreamcast. It came out 99 of 99, and then let's continue with Xbox with their where their team. They were very engaged with the audience, the consumer. Now with PlayStation, especially during the PlayStation 4 days, dude, everybody knew all the people that were there, the faces of the company, right? But now having Jim Ryan, I feel like it's kind of feels like the Don Matrick, like that type of vibe when Don Matrick took over Xbox during the Xbox 360 days, late Xbox 360. And not because of the console. I'm talking about more of interacting with the fans. He was not doing that at all during that time. Phil Spencer made huge changes over there, and he's always interacting with fans, you know. And even the people that were involved with PlayStation during the PlayStation 4 days, oh, they were always interacting with the fans, you know what I'm saying? So that's my opinion. I just feel that I think it is important to interact with your fans, man, in my opinion. But what about you, Pete? You agree? Disagree?
I think the comparison to Don Matrick is a little. I think that's off. I think that's. I mean, I think that that might be the wrong way to phrase it because.
Really?
Don Matrick's history, at Xbox was maybe less than stellar. I think I'm trying to say this in the right way without ruffling feathers. I don't because yeah. You know it's we that's not that's just not the way that we you know we do things.
No.
I think at the end of the day, I mean he mentioned you know Sakurai, Bowser, Miyamoto. You forgot Reggie.
Oh, Reggie feeds me. Yeah. Shout out to him.
Yeah. You know, he talks about Phil and Major Nelson, but you know, you forget other people like Aaron and Jeff at Xbox who are, you know, who may not hold those same titles or roles, but are just as important as major cogs, right? In the world of Xbox. You know, he asked, you know, who is Jim Ryan? You know, he technically took over in 2019. He essentially swapped roles with John Cadera, I think. He was the vice president, became the president. John Cadera is still there. He's now just the vice president. You forget, we had Andrew House as president and CEO. He replaced Kaz Hirai, who replaced Kutaragi. You know, but I think at the end of the day, because, you know, he mentioned Sean and Sean Layden and Jack Trenton, they basically, you know, Sony essentially just merged all those same roles together, essentially just to reduce the major headcount. You know, of different heads, you know, Jack succeeded Kaz Hirai, you know, and launched the original PlayStation. Right. So, you know, they were all different heads. I think Sean was the chairman of SIE, Sony Interactive Entertainment. And Jack was head of Sony Computer Entertainment America. So they had, you know, basically the same role, but at different departments or divisions within Sony. And so, essentially, what happened is, I think with it started just at or around when Andrew House took over, which was 2011 to 2017, I think. They basically folded all of those roles into one head of, you know, basically, essentially, you know, Sony Interactive Entertainment, SIE. It's, again, going back to what you said, comparing him to Don Matrick, because he was probably the least favorite of all of, you know, the heads of Xbox, you know, over the history. Do we need a face? Do we need a major face or pure head? I mean, hell, they had what was his name? Actor who wasn't even associated. He was just he was basically Ben Kingsley from and the Mandarin.
Yeah, what is
from
it?
Iron Man 3.
I can't remember his name. He's done other commercials too, and I think he got sued years ago. Because he did a commercial.
I have to look this up.
But it has some. I think it was Nintendo in
Kevin
there
Butler.
Too. I don't know. Kevin Butler. Yeah, so yeah, but that was fake. That was not a legit.
He was fake. He was basically the Mandarin from Iron Man 3, right? He was the fake figurehead of the Ten Rings organization. To tie it all back into what we were talking about offline.
That is.
But
Kevin Butler.
At the end of the day, do we need a recognizable figurehead for Sony, a la Sean Layden or Jack Tretton? I mean, Jack Tretton, if anything, maybe didn't come off as the most approachable, whereas Sean Layden came off as more approachable online or actually in person. I think we met him walking out of E3 a few years ago, three of us. So, you know, do they need to be approachable? Absolutely. Do they need to be a major figurehead or PR person? Maybe not. If we didn't have Phil, Aaron, Jeff, Major Nelson, we're all holding those roles at one point in time anyways. But I think because of their individual cachets or their ability to speak to people, makes them, you know, more endearing to us. Did we ever really talk to Miyamoto or Sakurai?
No, we never spoken to them at all.
No, I'm not saying us personally. I'm just saying in general, we now maybe see Bowser, you know, on stage and stuff like that. And obviously we saw Reggie all the time, you know, but like if you thought Nintendo, Miyamoto and Reggie were probably the first people you think of, right? But they weren't the absolute heads of those individual divisions or departments. But I mean, at the end of the day, I think it goes back to the quality of the games at the end of the day that's going to determine how popular or how well those individual, you know, component, whether it's a platform or a game, is going to sell. And to answer your question, do they need one? I don't think so. I think that's what PR and communications in these major corporations, that's their job, that's their thing. And we're seeing it today where we have, you know, we see these events from earlier, you know, with EA, we had, you know, Jackie and Ka, they're not associated with EA, but they were doing, we have our very own, you know, super personality in Paris who has essentially, I'm saying out on a limb now, he's becoming the face of Xbox, you know, from doing, you know, the last two showcases with them, and shout out to him for doing a fantastic job doing that. And I think game publishers or game industry, you know, execs are starting to see the value in not needing an XCOM or executive committee type person, a C-suite or someone like that, having to be the face or the talking head for their individual platforms. They can leverage other people who are maybe more approachable or who are maybe better suited for that.
I mean, I agree with you, Pete. A lot of things that you just said. I think now in 2021 has been different when it comes to that. Like, even I'm going to give you a perfect example for you, Ben. Huge Marvel fan, right? Kevin Feige. He's always doing interviews, interacting like with creators too and media. Imagine there's no Kevin Feige. Is that a good thing? If he's not out there doing those interviews and stuff like that to promote Marvel? Because I think I'm talking about more of entertainment in general. We've been seeing the changes, like even Steve Jobs back in the days, like the face of the company. You get what I'm saying with Apple? I think we definitely do need that, man. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I brought that up. Now, when I said about Don Matrick, I'm not the only one that mentioned that. I know plenty of people that are huge PlayStation fans that are not happy with Jim Ryan, and they also mentioned the same exact thing. They will compare him to Don. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I brought that up. You know, but now, do they have to do it? They don't. PlayStation don't have to get like a public figure like that and interact. They could just have their games. The consoles are selling like crazy and they'll be fine. You know what I'm saying? But for me as a fan, I think it'll be cool to interact with people like that, higher ups like that, you know. That's all for me as a fan. Mm-hmm. Anything else? No?
No.
All right. Let's go with the next question here. By the way, Pete, before I play this second voicemail, check if we have like at least one more email, I guess, we could read on the show. So I'm going to play this voicemail right now. Number dos.
What's up, Gamertag Radio? It's your boy here, Space Rat. I hope you're having a good day, Danny, Pete, and Paris. I have a question for you. It's a little fun one, a little bit wacky. But if you could have any AAA game turned into a 2D game, what game would you like to see? And who would you want it developed by? I just want to get y'all's thoughts on that, you know? It's something fun to throw out there. That's about it. I mean, thank you all. I hope you all keep doing what you're doing, you know? Keep killing it. All the content you all do, really appreciate it. I listen to it every night. Thank you all so much, and have a great day.
So he says he listens to it every night, so that's 30 days, 31 days, so that's 31 episodes, right, every month? Listen every night. No, shout to him. Shout to him, and thanks for the voice message, man. Wow. I think I will go with, I think Halo would be cool. Try a 2D. Halo? I think that would be awesome. In my opinion. What'd you think, Pete?
In a 2D environment, would that be like a platformer? Or would it be more like a Hades type?
No, think of it as like Ninja Gaiden style, like that type of thing, but 2D like that, and but instead of you using knives,
right,
you'd be using your weapons shooting. Contra, like Contra.
Cool.
There you go.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool. It'd be like, what was it, Robotron, like 2044 type situation?
Yeah, that would be sick.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Halo, but in like Robotron.
Yeah, right.
You just shoot everywhere. That'd be cool. That'd be really.
I'm thinking of another game that will make so much sense to release like that.
So here's mine. All right.
Okay.
All right. Think Assassin's Creed, but playable. Like Dead Cells or like Hades or like Carrion by Phobia.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I like that one. Yeah. That's a good one.
That'd be pretty dope. And I think they did like a Japanese style Assassin's Creed a while back. I'm fairly certain that they did.
Yes, they did. It came out for the Xbox 360.
Like Feudal Japan or something like that?
Was it 360 or Xbox One? I'm trying to remember. I think they've done that with the Assassin's Creed. I think they did. Thinking about it. Now, I would like to see something like on the 2D world, multiplayer. Hey, some Apex Legends, Pete. Apex Legends, 2D, almost 100 players, big world. Oh, that would be sick.
Yeah, it was Assassin's cool. Creed Chronicles is what it, were, is yeah, what it was Chron- before.
Chronicles, yep. That's the one.
But I would love to see Supergiant or Phobia try to take that on. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Do you have one more game?
Another game?
I think Resident Evil would be cool. 2D. Grimy music, you know.
It would be cool to see Resident Evil, but like having all the main characters in like a gauntlet style experience.
Ooh. That's a good one too. Wow, Pete.
That'd be cool.
Wow, you were inspired by this PUBG news, man. That now Pete is coming up with like some ideas.
I've got neural networks tapping in.
Yeah. That's cool, man. That's cool. Any other questions? Let me see. I think I'm going to double check to see if there's any other questions from
I don't know, because I'm going through like the fan mail channel here in on the GTR Discord, and if you haven't been there, maybe you should.
I have one.
All right, go for it.
I have one. This is from 11 days ago, and this is from Richard. What is your favorite video game trailer? He said that he's from Patch Note on Twitter and Instagram, and I pop the stream a lot and try to catch your attention on Twitter. I just want to say how much I love listening to the show, and you inspire me to dive into gaming media and journalism. It's being tough as a full-time student, but listening to you guys inspire me daily. I'll be on the show one day. Watch. Hey, good luck, man. Hopefully, you never know. I would love to bring a new type of energy to the crew. Anyways, he says, what is your favorite game trailer? Mine has to be TV spot for GTA 3, Halo 2, the one that's Bet You Can Stick It trailer, and also Gears of War Mad World trailer. And he said we'll continue talk about this for a long time. But anyways, he says, thank you and love y'all. So Pete, what is your favorite video game trailer ever? Let's go for it. I have a cool one.
You kind of got me with the Mad World.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Like Mad World, the song Mad World for Gears of War. I actually have history with that song because there's a remix of it that I used to love that took me years to find. But finally, I was able to get it. But yeah, you know, so that I can't remember. I think the artist, his name is Gary. I can't remember the last name, but he's the one who originally wrote Mad World. So when I heard that actually playing in the background, I was like, ooh, that's kind of spooky. I don't know. Witcher 3 Wild Hunt was insane. I really
think yes, that's a good one. That's a really good one. I forgot about it. I'll tell you mine.
Go for it.
Yo. The one that it was. Now, this is not for a game. This is for a product that was coming out. Sega Dreamcast. The one that I think there was like cops going after this spy or undercover.
Okay.
And crazy special effects. It looked, that commercial at that time looked very, very expensive. And it looked like it was filmed in Japan. So it got me really excited for Sega Dreamcast back in 99. So highly recommend it. Now, as for a game, I think Halo 3. Halo 3, the one we got to see Master Chief, and he had the shield as a ball, a bubble, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was inside, and then he jumps over a hill, and he's like attacking the enemies.
Right.
That's the one that I love. I can't remember the name of that trailer, but it was for Halo 3. That's one of my top favorite. And also Mad World, Gears of War. Really, really good. Oh, you know which one too? Mirror's Edge. Mirror's Edge, remember the first Mirror's Edge game, Pete?
Yeah.
The song that they had in there? Oh, forgot the name of it, man. That was a good one.
I think I have one. Star Wars The Old Republic Deceived.
I don't know if you remember it. I don't remember this one.
There's a scene. All right, so it's, you know, again, it's Star Wars, so you know, it's always going to be the Jedi versus the Sith. But there's a scene where this shuttle comes crashing through the castle, this castle that they're all fighting in, and it just unloads just this mass of Jedi coming out. And then at the end, you know, it's insane. I'm going to put it in the chat so that people can experience this as we're talking.
Yes.
Like, oh my God. For me personally, it's still The Witcher, but Star Wars The Old Republic, it's from like 2010. You watch it now and it's gonna make you a fan of Star Wars all over again. Like, this shuttle comes crashing through, and just as it comes to a stop, there's this figure cloaked in black. He pulls it back and he just goes ham, and then it goes wild. And just watch the trailer. I don't know if you want to even pause the podcast, watch it. It's 3.5-4 minutes long. You watch it, and we come back, we talk about it. Put it in the video notes so that people who download the podcast can watch it when we're talking about it. It's insane. I think that one and The Witcher is probably my favorite.
All right. Well, we have one more question because I love asking these cool, cool questions here. This is from Alex. Hey, Gamertag crew. This is Alex from Dallas. The other day, Tony Polanco said on this podcast that maybe Microsoft should hand the Halo franchise over to id Software. They got me thinking. With studios all under the Xbox umbrella, do you think we will ever see universes cross in the future? I would love to see, for example, Doom, the character in Doom, in Gears, or BJ in Halo, either as friends or enemies, or even just a cameo. Maybe you guys can pull some strings in the industry and make it happen. I don't know. I really doubt they're going to listen to us, but that would be cool. That would be really cool. Pete, what you think, man? I think there's a couple games that I would love to see. I mean, as a kid, we always wanted to see Mario and Sonic, right? And that happened, mm-hmm. Years later. But I think that would be cool to see something with Doom and Halo together. I think it would be awesome to see something like that. Or even Metroid 2, get in there too, right? I mean, the coolest moment that I remember of cross universe in one game was Soul Calibur. Seeing the Soul Calibur characters in there. I think Spawn was in there. Link from Zelda was there too. But it depends which version you will buy for that console. So if you buy the GameCube version, you will get Link. If you buy the Xbox version, you will get Spawn, right, et cetera. So something like that will be cool. What about you?
I mean, we kind of got it a few years ago with Rabbids and Super Mario. Never thought we would have seen something like that, and it would be so amazing to experience finally when it happened. I mean, we kind of get it. I mean, Nintendo kind of does a really good job of doing that, of pulling in characters from outside into their shared universe. But I would love to maybe see, like, and it's funny because I'm going to use two games that I don't play.
Oh,
Final Fantasy and Legend of Zelda.
Final Fantasy and Legend of Zelda. It is tricky, Pete, because with Final Fantasy, no, here's the important thing. Every Final Fantasy, the majority of the games, is brand new stories, brand new characters. So it has to be a game that already came out that people could relate to those characters. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Something like for example, Final Fantasy VII, Zelda, like something like that makes more sense. But yeah, I can see that. I can see something like that.
That'd be cool. It's different. It's not something that we would, we've seen it. I just thought it'd be a really cool to experience.
Yeah, yeah. That would be cool. That would be cool. Anything else? We're good?
No, I think that's it.
I think that's it, yeah. But look, guys, we would love for y'all, the ones that are watching right now on Twitch, and also listeners, send us questions. We would love to do a whole episode of just answering questions from the fans. And it's super easy. And here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, everyone. Just want to say thank you so much for sending us questions, for watching us on Twitch. It's going to be very, really fun to start talking the future coverage that we're planning to release in the future on the show. I can't say what it is, but it's going to be some cool stuff. Really, really cool stuff. And is there anything else, Pete, from your end? Is there anything you want to talk about? Oof. Follow Pete on Twitter. Follow him on Twitter.
Get me to 30 followers now. Yeah,
follow him. Follow Pete. I think
get me to 4,000 followers. All right. Get me to 4,000 followers. Maybe I'll even get verified if I break the 4,000 barrier.
I know, man. Yeah, let's go. 4,000.
Get all three of us verified. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, we're gonna try to make that happen, Pete. We're trying. We've been trying to get Pete verified. Help us out, Twitter. Make what it is happen. What we need to do? Come on.
Hope, I saw you in here earlier. Make it happen. Help me.
Wait, who's here? Who was here?
Popart. He was in the Popart. Chat. I saw him earlier.
Oh, snap. That's cool. Shout out to him, man. All right, guys. Thank you for watching. By the way, September 30th is International Podcast Day. I'm planning to have my fourth session on Bright, all about how to make money in podcasts. I have a special guest joining me. And also, I'm going to have some surprises for the guests, for people that attend the session. But the person that is going to be joining us, we're going to be talking about how to get advertisers on your show, media kits, and just the business of getting money for your podcast. So it's going to be a lot of fun. He's been in the industry for a very long time. So And also, P, you probably don't know this, but he also helped us behind the scenes getting us ads, which I had no idea.
Oh, really?
And I found this out while having a conversation with him. So, yeah, thanks, man. So, guys, so make sure to go to brightlife.com or under the description of this episode. The link is there. Just reserve your spot, and hope to see you there. Thursday, September 30th at 5:30 p.m. Pacific. That's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay? And that's about it. Until next time, thank you for listening to this episode of Gamer Tag Radio. It's over an hour and 20 minutes.
Wow. Until you're welcome, time. Keon.
Take care, man. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.